The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter Number 19, Text Number 32, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on June 23rd, 2008, in Suva, Fiji.
So today we are blessed once again with the most inconceivably sublime, wonderful opportunity that even the demigods, and even beyond the great fortune of being a demigod in the heavenly planets, you see, the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam according to the parampara message, you see, according to the parampara, bona fide Bhagavad Gita, to hear the actual Bhagavad Gita in the bona fide sampradaya, this is the greatest blessing. It's actually as good as being in the spiritual world. So take full advantage. Dive deeply, deeply, deeply into this Bhagavad Gita, and you'll become very much blessed by Krishna for doing so. Today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, chapter number 19, text number 32. For those of you who just have come late, the board is wrong, so you have to simply chant by hearing. You cannot look at the board today. You have to, just by hearing only, you have to be chant. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maya yatanuktam vabhadite hare. Maya yatanuktam vabhadite hare. Kritavatar rasya sumitra cheshtitam. Yatahiranyaksha udara vikramo. Mahamrade kridanavannirakrita. Translation in purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, the Savior of the whole world. Maitreya continued. My dear Vidura, I've explained to you the personality of Godheads coming down as the first boar incarnation and killing in a great fight a demon of unprecedented prowess, as if he were just a plaything. This has been narrated by me as I have heard it from my predecessor, spiritual master. Purport. Here, the sage Maitreya admits that he explained the incident of the killing of Hiranyaksha by the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a straight narration. He did not manufacture anything or add interpretation, but explained whatever he had heard from his spiritual master. Thus, he accepted the bona fide system of parampara, or receiving the transcendental message in disciplic succession. Unless received by this bona fide process of hearing from a spiritual master, the statement of an acharya or predecessor cannot be valid. It is also stated here that although the demon Hiranyaksha was unlimited in prowess, he was just like a doll for the Lord. A child breaks so many dolls without real endeavor. Similarly, although a demon may be very powerful and extraordinary in the eyes of ordinary man in this material world, to the Lord, killing such a demon is no difficulty. He can kill millions of demons simply as a child plays with dolls and breaks them. Vandeham. Shri Guru, Shri Jata Padakamalam, Shri Guru Vaishnavam Shcha, Shri Rupa Sagra Jatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, those who have raised children, they know the children have no problem in breaking things. They're very expert at breaking everything. No difficulty. So for the Lord, breaking the necks of all these demons is very simple. It's child's play. It's simply a pleasure pastime for the Lord. We're so much worried about all these demons, you see, but Krishna just wipes them out like that. Directly or indirectly, Krishna will kill every single demon. Every demon will be killed. If they're big, big demons, then he kills them personally. If they're a tiny demon, then he lets the material nature do it, you see. Heart attack, traffic accident, old age, cancer. He wipes them all out. And they go down to the lower species, you see. They get punished for all of their sins they did as human beings. And they strutted around with their limousines and their big, big titles, you see. Yes, I am big, big leader, big, big wealthy man, you see. Very proudly. I remember there was one song back in the 60s in the countercultural. There was some interesting concept that came out of the culture, countercultural movement, the hippie movement. They had one popular song, "Oh God, Pride of Man." Smash, you see, "Oh God, Pride of Man." Crushed or smashed into the earth again. The idea was that God would come, all these rascals would be smashed by God. That was the idea of the song. Oh yeah, oh God, pride of man, broken into dust again. Yeah, that was the song. So these big, big rakshasas, these asuras who are leading the human civilization, they may appear to be in a very, you know, sitting pretty now, but you know, as soon as their karma runs out, they're going to be smashed. Someone can get a big position because of past pious activity, you see. It's like people in the Western countries, they suffer like anything, working in some hellish northern city, you know, saving up for their vacation to Fiji, counting the days. They'll put a picture of the Fiji Islands there on their, in their cubicle so they can meditate on Fiji while they're suffering in the hellish northern office, you see. They save up, they scrimp and save for that dream vacation to the Fiji Island, you see. And they come here, but as soon as their vacation time has run out and their credit card is maxed out, they have to go back to that hellish northern city again. Just struggle, you see. So someone may get some position in this material world, some big, powerful, wealthy, famous position, you see, in this material world because of past pious activities. But as soon as they spend up all of that pious karma, you see, then punar musika bhava. I think you all know the story. Everyone knows that punar musika bhava. You know that story? Yes. There was one little mouse, you see, in an Indian village. And he had a difficult time. Because, you know, everybody has to eat, isn't it? We all need to eat. So the mouse also has to eat. But every time he came out of his little mouse hole to try to get some food, the cat was there to try to eat him. So it was a very perplexing problem. But one day, the cat took a nap. And there was a powerful yogi in the village who could do all kinds of mystic powers, you see. So the mouse made a mad dash for the yogi's hut, and the cat was asleep before the cat would wake up, see. And he got there in time before the cat could catch him. And he said, "My dear yogi, I'm being tortured and tormented by this cat. What can you do to help me? Please, please do something to help me." And the yogi said, "You know what I can do? I can make you a cat. Would you like me?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Then the cat won't bother you. You will also be a cat." All right. So, poof, he made him into a cat. So now he's so happy. "The cat won't bother me. This is great. I can go. I can eat. I can get my meals. No problem. I don't have to worry about the cat." But then as soon as he went out of the hut, there was a dog, you know, ruff, ruff, ruff. Came running at him. The poor cat went running up the tree, you see. And when the dog finally got tired of waiting for the cat to come down from the tree and went home, and the cat came down and went in back into the hut, "My dear yogi, now the dog is bothering me. What to do?" He said, "Well, I'll make you a dog." I'll immediately say, "You like that?" "Yes." "All right, dog." So now he's a dog, and now it's really great. The cat won't bother me, the dog won't bother me. Now I can really be happy, you see. So he went back out, but then, this is Bengali, you see. There's a Bengal tiger came into the village looking for some food, you see. And he went running back into the yogi's hut. "Yogi, yogi, there's a tiger in the village. What to do?" He said, "Well, I can make you a tiger." He said, "All right." Boom, now he's a tiger, you see. Now the tiger, you see, he has one problem. Even though he can eat anything he wants, the problem is when he goes to take his meals, what do the meals do? They go running as fast as they can in the opposite direction. Now, Prabhupada explains, in the forest there's one bird, something like sayu bird. He makes it sound like that, sayu. Sayu, sayu. Whenever the tiger goes out looking for his meal, this little bird sends a warning. And everybody goes heading, running for the hills to hide out from the tiger, you see. There's a mass exodus. Whenever that little bird makes the little sound, and that little bird, he's in the tree, the tiger can't touch him, you see. The little bird, he makes this warning sound, and all the animals go running. And the tiger, "Where does my meal go? My meal went running this way and that way. Where will I eat?" You see? So the tiger actually, he has a difficult time getting his meals. So now, this tiger is sitting there in the hut with a yogi. And the yogi is a nice plump yogi also. And the tiger is sitting by the door that leads out of the hut. So the yogi is actually trapped. So he looks at the yogi, you know, like... The yogi picks up on it. He says, "Oh, you want to eat me?" The tiger said, "Yes." The yogi said, "Punar musika bhava." Again you become a mouse. Poof. Turned into a mouse again. So this big rakshasas, you see, Because of past pious activities, they become big, big business magnates, big, big government leaders, big, big professors. Not you. You're a devotee. Big, big professors in the universities, you see. Big, big position, doctor so-and-so, Nobel laureate so-and-so, you know, general this. Of course, the general here is a little nicer. I'm not speaking about this general. He's friendly to the devotees, I heard. Your general here, he has some special thing. But in general, these leaders, they become very much demoniac. But as soon as they exhaust all the results of their previous pious activities, purna mudaka bhava, they become mouse, you see. So Krishna has fun smashing them directly and indirectly. It's a great pleasure for him. That's one point of this verse. And the other point that Prabhupada points out in his purport is the point of explaining as it was heard from the predecessor spiritual master. This is the potency of the message given by the spiritual master. You see, if the spiritual master manufactures what he's speaking to you in some concocted flowery words, then he's actually not a spiritual master. He's simply a cheater. He's bogus. He's worthy of being dragged off the Vyasa sun. Just like when Balaram, he took a piece of grass and assassinated the guru sitting on the Vyasa sun. You know that pastime? He was bogus. So Lord, he went out right to the Vyasa sun and assassinated the guru. Pretty heavy, Balaram. So, if the spiritual master is not bona fide, he's not worthy to sit on the Vyasasana, and he could be dragged off the Vyasasana and thrown out of the temple for being a rascal. You see, if he does not speak according to the predecessor acharyas. But the bona fide spiritual master, you see, he does not bring his own words. He simply brings the message of Krishna as he has heard it from his spiritual master. In this way, the message always remains pristine, it always remains pure. Evam parampara praptam mimran rajarshayo vidu. This knowledge was a seed in the chain of disciplic succession. This is how the saintly kings understood this knowledge, as it was handed down, carefully handed down. So we are very fortunate that in spite of the ravaging effect of this Kali Yuga, that the pure message of Krishna has been preserved in this Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Prabhupada, Sampradaya. We are very fortunate that the pure message has been handed down carefully so that we can actually hear it. Anyone who hears this knowledge in the disciplic succession, they become unlimitedly blessed. You understand? Brahmanda brahmite konda bhagyavan jeev guru krishna prasadai pai bhakti lata beach. After wandering in the material universe from the higher planets down to the lower planets, here, there, everywhere, through the 8,400,000 species of life, Jalada, Navalakshani, etc. One who comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by the mercy of Krishna and receives the seed of bhakti in the heart through the ears by a submissive oral reception is the most fortunate living entity in the entire universe. You see. And if he doesn't take advantage of that good fortune by hearing and chanting and taking up the bhakti process, he is the most unfortunate living entity in the universe. So therefore, gotten this opportunity to hear from the bona fide spiritual master in the Siddhic session, the bona fide message of Krishna, we must take full advantage of this opportunity. How do you do that? It's very simple. Whatever instructions you receive from the spiritual master, you must embrace those instructions as your very life and soul. In fact, Prabhupada said that the disciple worships the orders he receives from his spiritual master. Just imagine if you took a piece of paper and you said, whatever instructions you have received from your spiritual master, you wrote it on a piece of paper, and every day you offer arti to those instructions. I'm not saying to literally do that, but I'm saying within your heart, that is how you should feel, that is how you should revere the instructions that you receive from the spiritual master. You should receive those as worshipable. You should constantly meditate on those instructions and pray for the mercy of your spiritual master that you can successfully carry those out. The prime instructions are chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day on your japa mala beads and strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. That's the basic instructions he has given to you. And then beyond that, you have personal instructions, and the general instructions he gives in his lectures are also personal instructions. The spiritual master also orders the disciples to follow the previous acharyas. This is the fifth item. The fourth or the fifth item. I forget. This is one of the prime items. In the path of bhakti, there is, in the nectar devotion, there are mentioned. What is devotional service? How is it executed? The very first principle is to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. First principle. The second one is to take initiation from him and be instructed by him. It's the second point. What is the third point? If you're instructed, what are you supposed to do? The third point is you obey the instructions of your spiritual master. That's the third point. The fourth item is that you should receive, the spiritual master trains you on how to follow the previous acharyas. For us, that means his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. You see. Your spiritual master teaches you how to be a first-class follower of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So, Prabhupada's books are full of thousands and thousands of instructions. You can't say you don't have any instructions to meditate on and follow. All you have to do is read Prabhupada's books because your spiritual master wants you to become a first-class follower of his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. All you have to do is read these books and follow exactly what Prabhupada is saying. And then the fifth item in the list is that you should inquire from your spiritual master how to advance in Krishna consciousness. So we see that the spiritual master does not always remain present on this plane. Just like those of you who are disciples of Srila Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj Gurudev. He is physically departed. Once he is gone, you can't get direct answers unless you're highly advanced and can communicate him directly within the heart. And you know you're not speculating. We don't imitate that level. That level is available. When one becomes completely pure. But until that time, we depend on the physical presence of the spiritual master. So for those of you whose guru is still alive on this planet, take advantage. Because myself as a Prabhupada disciple, and those who are Goswami Maharaj, Tamal Krishna Goswami disciples, we know what it's like when our guru has physically departed. Because now you can't directly write him a letter or ask him a question and get an answer. So those of you whose guru is still present, take advantage. Inquire from him as much as possible about the science of bhakti through letters, through face-to-face meetings, through asking questions in the classes. Take full advantage. Sometimes they say you don't know what you've got until you lose it. Those of us who've lost the physical presence of our gurus, we know what it's like. So you should learn from us, those of you whose gurus are still present, learn from us, take full advantage now when your spiritual master is present on this planet. Take full advantage of his presence. Of course, the solace is that even in his physical absence, those instructions are, he himself, actually. The spiritual master fully manifests himself in the instructions. It is called vani. It is the vani presence of the spiritual master. He is fully present in his orders. So if you actually fully surrender to your spiritual master, you will never feel his separation. He will always be present with you in all times, all places, and all circumstances, at every minute, to bless you, guide you, and inspire you. If you are completely 100% dedicated to his teachings, 24 hours a day, you never deviate, you see. It's like here, I heard there was somebody watching television in the ashram. This is against the orders of our acharyas. This television should be gotten out of here. I don't know who has it, but it doesn't belong in the ashram. Please, whoever has the television, please remove it. This is violating the orders of the acharyas. If we violate the orders of the acharya, we lose connection with the acharya. We lose our connection. We become, what is that? Whereabouts unknown. Just imagine you're in the middle of the South Pacific, sailing from Suva to Los Angeles. And you're enjoying the wonderful view, the ocean breeze, and you slip and you fall over the rail. And you call for help, and it was early in the morning and nobody was up. It was Brahma Muhurta. You were chanting your japa on the deck, and nobody heard you. And there you are in the middle of the ocean. No one even knew you fell overboard. You see, that's what it's like if you disobey the order of the spiritual master. You are lost. You're completely lost. So please remove it. Whoever has this TV, please remove it from the ashram today. This very day it should leave this ashram. That's my request. You can pass the word if they're not here in class. That TV should go today. It should be removed from the ashram. It should not come back. So anyway, we got a few minutes left here for the reading. Are there any questions? It's my your last chance. I'm leaving this morning. I'm leaving after lunch. Yeah. Yes.
Inquire, submissively.
Yes.
Can you explain that? Clarify.
Yes.
What that means, submissively.
Yes. There's two ways that you can inquire: submissively and challengingly. You see. Someone may say, what makes you think that Krishna is God? You see? Because they want to attack and defeat. See, if I ask you a question to try to attack you and defeat you, that is called non-submissive. And if I ask you a question to try to understand the science, you see, to try to improve my understanding, to clarify and to strengthen my faith, that is submissive. You understand? If your view is to learn, that is submissive. If your view is to defeat the guru, then that is challenging. That sort of question should not be in. There's the old stump the guru. I want to ask him a question. I want to make the guru look like a fool by asking such a question that he's stumped, he can't answer it. I want to humiliate him in front of everyone. You see, that's people do that. But many people try that with Prabhupada also, but guess who got humiliated? Prabhupada said, I act like a king because nobody can defeat me. You see. Many of these, Mayavadis and hedonists, they tried to defeat Prabhupada, but they were all defeated by him. And anybody who's preaching, who has full faith in Prabhupada's words, he will give them the understanding to do the same thing. If you have your full faith in Prabhupada's words and you preach, then Prabhupada will bless you. What to say when they try to challenge you and defeat you? You'll be able to defeat them by Prabhupada's blessing. Any other questions? Any challenges? Even a mock challenge is all right if there's nothing else. So go ahead. Oh, a conditioned living entity who dies, what happens to him? He is dragged by, there's a special escort service that gives him a very special escort. It's called the Yamaduta Escort Service. They come and they escort him to the court of Yamaraj, where he has to, on the way there, it's pretty heavy duty. It's not what I call a pristine journey. To Yamaraj's court. Along the way, the dogs of hell are barking at you and biting you along the pathway. Just on the way to Yamaraj's court, you have to go through incredible suffering just to get to the court. And once you get there, then it is determined what would be your punishment for all of your sinful activities committed in your lifetime. And you have to undergo all those sinful reactions. And then finally, after you've been sufficiently punished, they leave some punishment for your next life also. You don't get all your punishment. They will train you. Let's say you're destined to become a hog in your next life. But, you know, what do hogs do? They eat stool. But you were a human being. You have no appetite for stool. So how could you possibly be happy as a hog? You wouldn't be happy as a hog. You know what they do? They will train you to eat stool. They say, okay, now you're going to be a hog in your next life. Now you have to eat. Now get used to it. Here's a plate of stool. I said, no, I don't eat stool. No, but you were going to eat the stool. So they starve you until you finally agree to eat stool and develop it. And once you develop a taste for it, then you take birth as a hog, you see, in your next life. So it's not really fun. It's better just to learn by hearing than experiencing it directly. But if you take complete shelter of the bona fide spiritual master, follow the instructions you've received, then you will not have to see the Yamaduta escort service. You will be taken by another very wonderful escort service. It is called Vishnu Duta escort service. They will take you to the spiritual world. So our request to all of you is, please do not become susceptible to be the Yamaduta escort service. You should all qualify yourself for the Vishnu Duta escort service. Okay? So we thank you very much for your so nicely receiving us here in the Fiji Islands. And we look forward to coming back again. I think we'll come about a year from now to try to serve you all here in whatever way we can to help you become more Krishna conscious. And that we also are blessed by your Sangha, that we become more Krishna conscious. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.